The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that is right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back together here after episode number 12. My loved one is here, Stephen Fishback.
Oh, my God. It's a thrill to be back. It was painful being away last week and so delightful to be here again.
Good, good. And happy to hear those words come from you, Stephen. And also, I feel like that this is the first time in the history of Survivor Know-It-Alls that you are wearing short sleeves.
I think I wore a t-shirt once because I had that correcting your grammar. Yeah. But other than that,
what a hit that was.
Yeah. So, okay. People are still talking about that hilarious grammar correction.
Yes. So I think a lot to talk about here tonight as we had a big move on the table. It did not happen. It looked like that things were going one way. And obviously we saw that the swing votes in Laurel and Donathan decided they voted with the majority with Wendell and Dominic and Seabass here, 5-3. And Chelsea, Stephen Fishback, gone too soon. Robbed goddess.
Yeah. Bring back Chelsea.
Bring back Chelsea. Not soon enough.
Yes, I'm saying that sincerely, and the laughter is not in any way indicative of my sincerity. Hey, the big news of the night was Seabass. You know, we all assumed that he was just like a Navidi number or Navidi pawn. Here he is voting against the Navidi majority. I feel like that actually was like the story of the night, you know?
Really?
I mean, we've seen, the actual story of the
Wendell or Navidi.
Right, but he voted, that's true, that is true. But he voted against, rather than vote against, I guess that's true. I guess his options were Navidi or Navidi.
Yeah. And so he stuck with the guys as opposed to going off with the women. But we've really never had our finger on the pulse of what he's doing. We thought that he was a showmance with Jenna half the season.
And then he votes her out, apparently calls her chunky.
Yeah. That was in Ponderosa, on her way to Ponderosa, she mentioned that. So a lot to get to. We'll break it all down and talk about all of the second guesses from tonight. Of course, we'll take your questions as well. Hashtag RJP. You can post your question in the chat room. Scott St. Pierre is standing by to take care of all of that. But Stephen, I know everybody is waiting to hear from Chelsea in the Survivor exit interview. We heard another confessional from her tonight. But Stephen, I have some breaking news.
Oh, I'm already guessing. No,
are you
it's not true.
Needles?
It's not true.
Breaking news are happening.
Yes,
now.
Some breaking news tonight at this hour, Stephen Fishback. I have to report that I have been informed that Chelsea will not be appearing.
No, are you joking?
The exit interview.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding.
Invisible, even in her exit interview, she truly is the most invisible contestant.
I think we were all looking forward to hearing from her. Nobody has been a bigger Chelsea fan this season than me. And for some reason, we have not heard, we will not be hearing from her on Rob is a Podcast. I have been forwarded that she is going to be on a plane during our scheduled interview time.
But you can't reschedule? Is you going to be on a plane for the next 2 weeks?
I'm open all day.
Here's the thing. I do. I actually am very, I think we are all curious where Chelsea was, right? It seemed like when we saw her that she had her finger on the pulse of what was happening in the game. She seemed to be at the center of a lot of alliances. Obviously, Wendell and Dominic tonight thought she was a bigger threat and a bigger target than Kellen. So, you know, I want to hear why. And I'm heartbroken.
We will be getting email questions back from her over email. So we will have the exit interview podcast. And when those answers come in, we will have we will be joined once again by Liana Boris, the chief RHAP player of the exit interview dramatic reading.
Oh, how exciting.
So we'll have fun with that. That's going to be coming up on Thursday. But then, of course, a great batch of podcasts coming up to talk about all of this as well. Your friend and mine, Michael Snow, will be joining me on the recap.
Oh, I love Michael Snow.
It's been 10 seasons since Michael Snow played, and happy birthday tonight to Michael Snow.
Happy birthday. And as a birthday present, you've decided for the first time this season to not have a millennial or a Gen Xer on the podcast.
Oh, well, you're about like 10 weeks late to the party with that joke.
I just learned the joke. I was so excited about the joke.
It's already on to season 35, by the way. And then we were going to be joined by the great Bryce Isaiah, who once upon a time it was, why do you always have all these Survivor Kagyan people on the show?
They're the best.
Yes. Bryce Isaiah is going to join me on the podcast. So very excited that he made purple cool before even Chelsea did, when he was the purple pants badass.
Yes, the original Purple Pants Badass.
Yeah, so the fun week of podcasts coming up. Steven, so I want to talk about this tribal council, and I know you want to talk about Seabass and what he was up to.
I don't really need to talk about Seabass that much. I mean, the big story of this episode is, it's like the recurring story. One of the big stories of this whole season has been, you know, when is this duo of Laurel and Donathan going to make their move, if ever?
Yeah. And that was really, and Laurel really laid out the conundrum of with this group, with Kellen's group, it's less of a sure thing, but I've got a better chance to win.
Yes.
Or I could go with Dominic and Wendell, and it's much more of a sure thing, but less likely than I'll win. And you really feel like when you hear a survivor talk in those terms, that you would think the conventional wisdom is going to be they will go along for the path. If they recognize those are the two options, you would imagine that they would open the door that is less of a chance to get to the end, but a much better chance to win.
Yeah, it is. It's a really scary proposition. And I have been in this position, and I try not to minimize the times that I say, you know, I was in this exact spot. But I was in this exact spot in Cambodia, where I had this one group of people on my left with the Jeremys and the Spencers, who I knew I could... the Jeremys I knew I could trust, but they would beat me at the end. Then you had the witches, who I knew I couldn't trust, but I thought I could beat. And I did that thing that the opposite of what Laurel, you know, did. I made the move. I tried to destabilize the game, and then I was voted out. So it's scary. Like, you have to get to the end to win at the end. And I'm sure that Laurel thinks that she sees like some path to get to the end. Maybe it is Seabass and Donathan, but this fire making challenge really makes everything so difficult to predict, you know, plus knowing that both Wendell and Dominic have. So fire making means there's no vote at the final four. Both Wendell and Dominic have idols. The last time they can play them, I think, is the final five. You know, that means realistically, she only has two tribal councils to get out both of these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot. Steven, I want to, do you relate to Laurel at all based on the situation that you were in Token Jeans when it was a final two and not a final three? But did you feel that way at all about going to the end with JT, where it felt like, okay, well, if I get to the end, this is more of a safe thing. And I know JT was immune down the stretch, but it would have been, had he not been immune, less of a sure thing to get to the end, but a better chance to win.
I think it's very different. I mean, I don't want to go too down the rabbit hole of Token Chains, because I mean, there I thought I was in a great position at the final four. If I backstabbed JT, I would have been the next person gone. I don't think that's totally analogous to where Laurel is right here. But it is scary. Like, on the one hand, you know, because it's like, you know, let's say she does. I think we all were shouting at the screen, Laurel, make the move, vote for Wendell. But if she does that, do we really think that Kellen and Chelsea and Angela are going to take her to the finals with them? Absolutely not. What do you think is the right move here, Rob?
You know what? I honestly think that they should have pulled the trigger tonight. And here's the twist, though. I don't think they should have voted out Wendell. I think that the move would have been for Kellen and Donathan to, for Laurel and Donathan to vote with the girls and vote out Seabass tonight, because I think that it was really a bad night for Laurel and Donathan, because it seems like, hold on a second, we were talking about they were in a final four with Dominic and Wendell. Now here's Seabass also, and he, I believe, might be more loyal to Dominic and to Wendell, who were original Naviti, than he is to Laurel and Donathan. So if push comes to shove and these two pairs need to vote somebody out at five, I think now that Seabass could be somebody who votes with Dominic and Wendell and is feeling like the third amigo there, and Laurel and Donathan may have been pushed down a peg tonight.
I don't agree with you. I think that, like, if her move is to recognize that she's in a losing position and to take out someone who could beat her at the end, then she's got to take out someone who can beat her at the end. To recognize she's in a losing position and then to take out someone who isn't really relevant to her endgame chances, like Seabass, I think is like it's not doing anything. She's backstabbing the two guys, Wendell and Dominic, who are her alliance, and she's removing someone who she could possibly beat at the end. I actually think the move was to take out Wendell and then not to rely. I mean, I think people are thinking of it rather binarily. You know, on the one hand, you take out Wendell and then you go with the Naviti girls, or on the other hand, you take out Chelsea and you go with the Naviti guys. But I actually think there's a way, you know, the ideal circumstance, and again, this is very much easier to say from, you know, this side of the TV screen, is why not take out Wendell this week and then next week flip back? You know, what are Dominic and Seabass going to do? They're going to have the same urgency of getting rid of like Chelsea and Kellen. Just flip back.
But the issue is that Wendell has an idol. Laurel knows he has an idol. He's on high alert. I think it really hurt their cause that Dominic won immunity. So I think Wendell is sitting there. He told us going into tribal council, if anybody looks at me funny, I'm playing my idol. Then right. He got enough assurances that he felt, I mean, he's got a good read on everybody. He knew that Laurel and Donathan were with them. I believe that he would have been able to sniff it out if they actually did flip away from them. So I don't think that that was a realistic possibility to go ahead and get Wendell this week. That's why I like the idea of going after Seabass. Really, if you go back a week, though, the real missed opportunity is from Kellen. When she had the two votes, she had the extra vote, and nobody knew she had it. She knew where Michael's vote was going to go on Wendell. For her to vote against Laurel this week and then realize in this episode, oh, we've got to take out Wendell. She had him dead to rights. She could have put her two votes on Wendell, and Wendell would have been out of the game with his idol this week.
Wait, why? Tell me why. I want to hit that, but tell me, I didn't give full, you know, I wanted to hear why Seabass, like, you know, vis-a-vis like my point about him sort of him neither being a threat to win nor a threat in any other way. Why vote for Seabass? Like, what does that accomplish for Laurel? Cause in my mind, it's like Seabass has the opposite position in the game, where Seabass is someone who, after she votes out a Wendell, maybe Laurel can play with, you know, Seabass is willing to vote against the Naviti women. Maybe Laurel can loop him into her plans.
Because he's just not attached to Laurel or Donathan in any way, that he has only Naviti ties. So he could go back and be a number for the Kellen side, or now he's a number for the guys in Dominic and Wendell. And Donathan was there. He knows that Donathan starts talking about, okay, this is my final group with Seabass now all of a sudden. And if I'm Donathan, I'm like, hey, and Donathan really didn't, maybe he was like, okay, this is great. Right now I'm going to the end with Dominic and now Seabass, but it's just another number in the mix where you had a final four and now it's a final five. And unless, you know, they're getting like complete assurances that, okay, Seabass is going to be out at five, I think I'd be wary of that. And if you're Laurel, then if you've got to take a shot here, I mean, this was a guy, you had a free shot on Seabass. It was a number for that side. And then you now have a couple of shots to take out Dominic or Wendell. You know, potentially they could both play their idol now coming up, going into the final seven at the next tribal council if they don't win immunity, and you have to figure out how to get around that. But I feel like that, I don't think that shot was there to take out Wendell.
You just think because he's definitely going to, but like if he's definitely going to sniff a shot at him at any point in time, you know, why is it next week versus the following week versus, I mean, if you're giving Wendell like the superpower of shot sniffing, you know, like why, when will you ever be able to, I don't necessarily, like Wendell says,
well, then when, I'll be able, then what's
tonight, this episode.
Yeah. But he knew that he would, I believe that he would have been able,
just because he told you that, because he said he would know, like that's why you believe.
Why are you saying that he would only, that tonight is the only night he wouldn't be able to figure it out?
No, I'm just saying tonight was a night that he didn't play an idol. I mean, that much we know.
I think that's being very results oriented because he didn't play an idol because he knew that the two people that were in his alliance were voting with him.
But I guess if we're saying, like, if we're just trying to, like, say what they should have done, what they should have done was voted out Wendell, but been so devious that he didn't even know it was coming. But to the point about Kellen, which I'll stop harping on the Sebastian thing. It is interesting. You know, she says it herself, how the family visit just reframes your point of view. You know, having that family come out there reminds you of, like, oh, right, there's this bigger world. Like, you get so locked into your little survivor story. So it was funny to see her go from this Navidi strong to the Navidi family is dead, you know, or whatever she said. I mean, she said, but it was, she does speak about it in terms of family. And I do think that, like, the actual fact of her real family being out there changed her point of view.
Yeah, we've seen this all through the history of the show, that the family visit does serve as a wake-up call for a bunch of people where it's like, this is my group for 30 days. And it's like, oh, wait, no, these people are strangers. I need to win this money. I need to bring this money back for my family. So
exactly.
That is a recurring theme all throughout Survivor over the years. I want to go back to that tribal council again, though, Stephen. I want to talk about Donathan's performance at this tribal council. And I'm frankly a little confused to what his motive was in terms of his outburst at tribal council. Do you feel like you have a good read on his thinking at that tribal council based on the fact that he was voting against Chelsea?
Well, it seems like some people just use tribal council as like an opportunity to air all the tribe stuff. You know, some people use it as another opportunity to be super discreet and super, you know, play things really close to the vest. And some people think, I'm here, I'm going to be honest, like, this is the place where we actually talk about things. And it sounds like Donathan is just one of those people. As Wendell said, you know, Wendell had this quote about, you know, Donathan is one of these guys who likes to just be told he's a truth teller. He throws truth bombs at tribal. And, you know, I think that's just who he is.
At first, I thought that this was going to go down the path of, I thought that Laurel and Donathan might be voting against Wendell. And then
I thought so too.
And then Donathan was going to, you know, he started saying all this stuff and then Wendell was going to play his idol. And I thought that that's how this was going to get stopped or prevented by Wendell. But is it possible, was Donathan acting in this way because he wanted to scare Wendell into playing his idol? Or was this to go along with the plan as all part of a ruse to convince Kellen and Angela and Chelsea that he was actually voting with them?
I don't think it was strategic. I really just think that's who he is. You know, I think that, like, both Wendell and Kellen said, like, this is the guy he is. I don't think there was, like, some great ulterior motive. Like, I'm going to act this way to encourage a certain type of behavior.
Because Wendell also seemed to be alarmed at the point that he was doing it. And I wonder how much of it was choreography, where it was like, yeah, you say this at tribal council and I'll act like this and I'll act like I'm scared. And then that's so we won't arouse any suspicion in case any of them have an idol. I just say that it feels to me like it was theater because it doesn't make sense if it was any other way. I know that also it could potentially be that Donathan is trying to get Wendell to stand up and play his idol so that they can at least flush an idol at that tribal council.
Right, that could be.
But I don't sense that was the case, because I don't feel like that if it would be very underhanded. But I don't think that was the move that they were trying to do.
You don't think that's just who he is? I mean, we have seen him at their other tribal councils just be very, you know, honest about the situation at camp.
Right. That's who he is in terms of just spilling everything. And we saw Wendell, I think, say at the tribal council, you know, that Donathan has, you know, dropped some truth bombs at tribal council before. So in terms of it being just a matter of Donathan being Donathan, I think that that's probably more the case. But I feel like that Dominic said at that tribal council also, Stephen, that I know that when we were on the reward that the girls were talking, so that somebody went back and spilled information to Dominic because he wasn't there while those conversations were had.
Well, true. Although, I mean, I think you can just my takeaway from what Dominic said was like, these four were together on that beach. I mean, I agree with you that he's gotten like tipped off that, you know, they very well could be making a move. I got the sense that like these four were together, like you have to assume they're talking strategy at any given time. But definitely it sounds like someone let him know. It's likely that Laurel and Donathan let him know, right, that like that what was going on. Because you know, those guys are just so in control of everything. And it's crazy to watch these people acknowledge it, you know, to see Kellen and Laurel will be like, those guys are so in control. They're running everything and just not make a move. It's like we've seen this again and again in this show where, you know, like with Tyson in Blood versus Water or Jeremy in Cambodia, there's people recognizing it and not ever doing anything about it. It's maddening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going on? What should people do? I guess the Navidi people tried to do something.
No, I just feel like that Kellen had this golden opportunity last week and she let it slip by after a couple of weeks of butting heads with these guys that I think that she had the shot there. And now it's really hard because they both have these idols also. And then not only do they have all the control, they also both have a hidden immunity idol.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now Dominic has started winning individual immunities too.
And I think, you know, Wendell's going to be very competitive. I mean, obviously not this one, but, you know, certainly when they get to the ones at the end, like he's a very athletic guy, like he's going to be very competitive. That's why I think that was so important to try to take that shot tonight. Just because, you know, with individual immunities, with the threat of the idols, it's going to be so hard in the future to get. And then not having that vote at the final four, you know, changes everything.
I want to go back to the reward challenge as well. And Seabass, I thought, had a rough go in terms of winning the family visit. So he had the opportunity, one, to pick the people that got to see their loved one. And I know that there were, he was picking Navidi people. And then, you know, Donathan is somebody who, you know, I think a lot of people really are fond of him. But the optics of selecting all of the men out there,
you guys,
leaving the four women back at camp, I think was a very big blunder on his part.
I mean, the only mitigating factor is that you've just come off this night where Kellen and Laurel are at each other. You know, Kellen has put two votes on Laurel. I believe, did Laurel also vote for Kellen at that tribal council? Am I correct about that? I think she did.
Yeah, I believe she did.
So, you know, they've just both voted for each other. So granted, it's, you know, the gender issue is obviously there, but in terms of like the personalities, like you've got two people who are somewhat against each other at this point in time. You know, they've really just tried, they both tried to vote each other out. It's not like there's just good blood. The weirdest part of that to me was when Jeff said to Seabass, like, you can make this decision if you want, or you can let someone else just volunteer. And he only offers it to the guys to volunteer. Like, why doesn't he offer it to the women?
I thought it was that Jeff had instructed, okay, so here's the thing. There's an advantage at Ghost Island. No questions asked. If you don't want it, you can offer it to one of the guys. And if they don't want it, if nobody here wants it, then all the power goes over there.
Oh, I see.
It was like a waterfall. But how does Seabass pass on, okay, here, there's an advantage on Ghost Island, no questions asked. Like, no, Jeff, sorry, I got to see my sister today. I got to hang out with my sister.
Well, you know, Dominic, too, did not want to do advantage.
Not even a wife or a kid. I got to hang out with my sister.
It's not the Seabass I knew. Super strategist Seabass.
What got into him tonight? But then Wendell, intelligently says, what do I need to hang out with my dad today? I'm good. I got to go to Ghost Island, get the advantage. But bad luck for Wendell, where he gets the worst advantage of all advantages. That even when Malcolm won the original advantage, it's such a lame advantage because that challenge, you're either good at it or you're not. A second chance does not help you at all in that challenge. The second chance should be you have to do less, or the advantage should be you have to hold less of those things. You have like one less.
I hate that. That's like the instant win advantage. I agree.
Two people have gotten this advantage of you get an extra life in this challenge and they both immediately were out again. It does not help you. It is not an advantage.
Yeah. And it's a big sacrifice. I mean, it would have been more interesting, I thought, to have like basically anything else, because then there's an even bigger target on Wendell's back. Oh my God, this guy just got an advantage. Like, what is he going to do with it? I was, you know, cheering for Wendell to actually go, but before we knew what it was, I was praying that he would just, whatever it was, just use it at that tribal council, you know, to get it out of his pocket.
That it was something for this immunity, but I'm sure that Wendell must have been cursing and saying, I gave up my visit and lunch for this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yes. A lunch he'll never get back. Well, so tell me what you think of this Ghost. So this was another switch in the way Ghost Island works. You know, the core functionality of Ghost Island is the tribe that wins reward sends someone from the losing team to Ghost Island. And at Ghost Island, there is a game someone can play where they have the possibility of winning reward. Mm-hmm. Except sometimes there is no game. Sometimes there's no Ghost Island. And this time it was like the whole rules were totally changed. We're like, Seabass can choose whomever he wants to go to Ghost Island, or if not, then this group goes, but then that group might go. Oh, and there's definitely an advantage at Ghost Island, no game to play. Do the fluctuating rules of Ghost Island bother you?
I mean, that we could really get into the weeds on it, and I'm not talking about Seabass here, but I mean, it's a broken record at this point. You know, Ghost Island makes no sense. People like the relics from the past season, so that's the pros of it. But as far as conceptually, it makes no sense from week to week. But, you know, it is what it is. There's two more weeks of the show.
Yeah, yeah. Because I really feel like it's so close. I think it's such an interesting idea. But if they just created some consistency around the rules, then I feel like that's like a wheel
of advantages. Go there and take a spin.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That's good. Steven, did you think that we were going to see your second vote advantage?
I was hoping. My God, how great would that be? Finally, the curse would be reversed and I could stop living under this tree.
Do you think we're going to see it, Steven? I know that it was talked about that it was going to be out there, but maybe it was one of those things that was like, you don't think we'll see it. You think that it was.
There was the vote steal. Whose was it? Like, who else had the vote steal? Someone found the vote steal, right? It was no. This season there was another vote steal, and they were like, "Oh, we've got." There were like two urns, right? And they, mm-hmm. I think maybe it was a 2 in 3 chance, and I think they probably both had a vote steal. There was my vote steal, and then there was somebody else's vote steal.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see. Ultimately, still only 2 weeks left to go, and the finale is 2 weeks from tonight. Only 14 days left of Ghost Island, Steven.
It's crazy. It's really, really crazy. Who's next up? Who's going out next?
Who's going out next? So, not to get too into the previews, but just based on just based on what we're talking about tonight, you know, it really feels like that either Kellen or Angela's number is going to be up next.
I agree.
You know, it feels like that Kellen had an opportunity here. And not just at that last tribal council last week, but, you know, coming into the game, it just felt like that she had all of these pawns, the Desirees. I know Desiree wanted to vote against her, but I think it was because she felt like that, you know, she wasn't part of Kellen's big plan. But between the Desirees, the Chelseas, the Angelas, Seabass, before he went off with Dominic and Wendell, it just feels like that she had a lot of parts that she could have put together to make, a group of five where she could have done something and picked up Michael and some Lolos and made a run at this.
You were right that it was Sarah's vote steal. Sorry about that. I thought Sarah had mine, so I thought it was a different one. But you were right that it was Sarah's vote steal.
Sarah did have a vote steal, but this was a extra vote.
It became an extra vote because whatever it was. Yeah. They go through weird changes on Ghost Island.
Ghost Island gets crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then too, like with like Laurel and Donovan, like so many opportunities, it's just been really frustrating to see people just miss the opportunities that are present.
To be clear about this, because we'll get tweets that Sarah did not have your
She had a different one.
She had that her letter referenced that you did not play yours correctly, but she would have her own opportunity to play it or misplay it with her own thing. But
yes, in my head, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
The letter, her note referenced you, but it was not.
It wasn't actually mine. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Steven, let's start to look at some of our questions here. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor, our friends over at canvaspeople.com.
Oh. Steven,
are you familiar with the fine work they're doing over at canvaspeople.com?
Well, tell me about it.
Canvaspeople.com. They are turning your photos from your phone and your camera into beautiful works of art.
Oh, wow.
Steven, I know you have so many pictures that you have that you probably would love to have. hanging up behind you in your lovely home. CanvasPeople.com can help you do that. Mother's Day is around the corner, but Mother's Day or any time of year, Canvas People is producing fantastic results for people. And best of all, they've got an offer for $0 pricing on 11 by 14 canvas photo. You just pay the shipping. It comes out to about $20 altogether, but you've got this 11 by 14 gorgeous canvas photo. You just use promo code RHAP at CanvasPeople.com. Normally a $69.99 value, Stephen.
Wow.
You could take the letter.
That's
that
a great deal.
Your advantage. Any of your survivor photos. Turn them into that picture of you and JT.
Arm
and arm. Any of that. Go to Canvas.
It's a great picture.
CanvasPeople.com. Upload your photo, 11 by 14 size, promo code RHAP at canvaspeople.com.
All right. Promo code RHAP, and it's free. It's free.
$0 pricing. You just pay the shipping, Stephen.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm there now. These look great.
It's a great deal. It's a great offer.
These look really good. Great offer. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into our questions, Stephen. Why don't you kick things off with... Hold on. Stephen is leaving, and he is going to be coming back.
I'm overheating. Okay.
You were overheating? What was the process? What did you have to do?
Turn on a fan.
Oh, you turned a fan on. Okay. Yeah. All right. Even with the short sleeves, you're overheating.
I know. Next time, it's just going to be topless.
All right. We'll let us promote that night. All right.
Oh, yeah. People stay clear.
What does Wes Macon have to say?
Wes Macon wants to know. So I guess the Secret Four Alliance is a little more visible now. Will Seabass catch a clue? What do you think here, Rob?
Will Seabass catch a clue? That's a tough one. That's tough.
Yeah.
Good.
Go ahead.
Who knows, Stephen?
Here's the other thing about that Secret Four Alliance, you know, Laurel going to the end with that Dom and Wendell alliance versus Laurel going to the end with some of the Nefiti people. If she goes to the end with Dom and Wendell, I believe she will be perceived as just having like floated to the end without having done anything. But if she goes to the end by blindsiding Dom and Wendell, she'll have this like big mark on her this big, you know, resume point. So it's not like it's just like one path or the other. One of these paths is a lot and gives her a lot more credibility if she actually gets there.
The other thing that I like about for Laurel going the opposite direction and eventually like taking the guys out, where when we get down to these last couple of immunity challenges, I know that the women have dominated most of the immunities early on here in the season, even though Dominic has won the last immunity and then also won half of the when they gave away two necklaces. But I feel like that at some point, the challenges are going to be a little bit more physical. And I really like Laurel in a physical challenge versus the likes of Kellen and Chelsea and Angela. Like, I feel like against and Donathan against that group, I feel like that she's head and shoulders literally and figuratively above that group.
Yeah, it's really true. It is really true.
And they might look at her and say at that point, like, hey, we got to vote her out. But then at that point, she's got a really great chance to win out in terms of the immunities.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. What I mean, I hope, I mean, she still could pull it out. We're talking about her like she's got no shot.
Late. It's getting late. So now we're down to the final what about seven.
Her, Donathan, like, let's say that five does stay together. Then you've got her, Donathan, and Seabass. You know, that three makes it to the end.
Potentially, but you know, that do you have confidence that Seabass will flip against Dominic and Wendell to Laurel and Donathan, who really they don't have a working relationship with them in the way that we've seen? Remember, Wendell brought the shell to Seabass.
You got to give some credit to Seabass. You know, you can't treat him like he has got no awareness of the game. You know, like, he's got to know to a certain degree, hey, if I want to win, I've got to vote these two guys out.
Okay. If you say so.
I have faith. I have faith in Seabass.
Okay. Jennifer says, if Wendell can win Survivor Ghost Island, will he be a top 10 Survivor winner with the game he is currently playing? That's hard, so hard to say. You really, that there is not enough conclusive evidence to say that at this point in time. He's done a very nice job. Hard to, you know, circle any major flaws in his game, but to say a top 10 winner at this point when we're at the final seven, I think that would be incredibly difficult to say right now.
In general, I don't like ranking either. I feel like everyone who won, like, congratulations, you did an amazing thing. You've got money. You've got, you know, this incredible achievement. But, like, you know, why do you got to take away from the 11 through 20, you know, through 36?
Okay, well, let's not debate that right now. But Steven, well, I would love to just
hold on. Yes. But you're saying if Wendell wins, he'd be a top 10 winner. I mean, I think Dominic is playing a really stellar game. If in fact across the board, I don't need to, again, you don't need to rank these two, but like they're both playing stellar games.
So that I want to get your power rankings 1 and 2. I think that almost anybody who is watching the season would be saying, okay, I feel like that. Look, who knows what could happen, but you feel like that these two guys, what order would you rank them in terms of likelihood to win the game? Who do you have 1 and who do you have 2?
Here's the thing. Until tonight, it would have been
use the word edit.
Until tonight, it would have been Dominic above Wendell, because Dominic has really had these incredible reads over the last couple of episodes, right? You had last week or whenever it was, Dominic reading that Laurel was telling him the truth about Desiree. You had Dominic reading that Michael didn't have an idol. You know, we had that scene, I believe, last episode where Dominic went and looked for advantages and found the fake immunity idol when Wendell went to lie down. So I think you had like both more hustle from Dominic and better reads from Dominic. But this week you had the reverse situation, because Wendell goes, you know, when Dominic wants to have lunch with his wife, Wendell's the guy who volunteers to go to Ghost Island. And similarly, that incredible read at Tribal Council where he didn't play his immunity idol. He knew not to, in spite of all of the like crazy paranoia signals he must have been getting. So I'm not going to rank him, Rob. I'm not going to. I think they're both great.
What's the point of this show?
It's not a ranking show. This is the knowing. It's not about the rank at all.
I can't believe that you are being a fancy fencerton right now. It's a simple question.
They're both doing great. Well, who do you think is you rank then, Mr. Rank It All?
I'll say that I feel like that Dominic has the last couple of episodes, I feel like that he has emerged to the point where now he has a couple of immunity victories now under his belt. And then also you hear more and more people saying like, oh, Wendell. You seem like people seem agitated with Wendell to some degree, where he has had more of a magic carpet ride. And so if I had to rank them tonight, I would say I have Dominic 1 and Wendell 2, big gap to anybody else at 3.
But the counter argument is, you know, in terms of like them being more aware of Wendell, you know, when before Dominic won immunity, Chelsea was saying we should vote for Dominic because Wendell is more likely to pull something out of his bag of tricks. You know, she said have something up his sleeve. So I think, you know, they also have this fear that read this sense that Wendell has more secrets, more to do. And like, yes, that's a bad thing if it makes you a target, but if it's a good thing, if it protects you from being a target. So I actually think I think that like there they balance too. It's a very evenly balanced partnership.
So you would say it's 50-50, not 51-49 in either person's favor.
This is why you've never been a part of a bromance, Rob. It's because it doesn't have to be one or the other. The bromance is equal bros.
Okay. Are you afraid you'll be wrong? Is that the issue here?
No, do you want me to predict who's going to win? I'm happy to do that.
What's the difference?
The difference is like who's playing the better game versus who's going to win the game. Those are two totally different things.
Okay. All right.
Wait, how are you so outraged by this?
We've been doing this show for what year is this of doing this show? Who's playing the better game right now? Why is this a hard question?
I don't think, I'm happy to rank the rest of them. Let's go down through 8 through 10. I don't think between those two is what you can do it. Oh, and I'm not going to cast bad bromance vibes by trying to create a hierarchy. You know, what if someone said to you, I'm not even going to speculate.
This is all right. I am bum puzzled right now. All right. Aiden wants to know, did tonight solidify Laurel's loss? I don't think so, that this is a fake complete, Steven, that she is lost the game tonight. She didn't get.
Oh, why won't you take a stand? Why won't you take a stand, Rob? I think she did lose the game tonight.
Okay, fine. You're saying that there's a 0% chance she can win after tonight.
No, but I think this was probably her last true opportunity to make a move. I think that it is possible that she wins after tonight. But to me, this looked like truly the last chance where she had a very clear, very good opportunity to create a winning path to the end for herself.
Yeah. I would say that it does look very bad for her, but I would not put her at 0% chance to win the game. I think that if we're going to rank the other people who could potentially win the game, if you talked about, like, is it Dominic or Wendell or the field? I think you talk about Kellen. I think you talk about Laurel. I think I'd probably have her 4.
Yeah. I agree. And then obviously Angela is drawing dead. And then you have Donathan. And then above Angela, you've got Seabass. Above Seabass, you've got Donathan. And I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's not much else there in the field. But I think if you're holding your hopes out for the field of not Dominic or Wendell, I feel like that, you know, Kellen and Laurel are where you probably have to put your chips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Luke Froze wants to know, Donathan was definitely trying to freak Wendell out so he would play the idol, right?
I don't think so. I don't think that was the case. He really seemed like that he was very proud of what he was doing. And I feel like that for Donathan to be that underhanded, I think he might be a little more sheepish about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like, I would like that move to have been the case. I think it would have been like a little less subtle had he been actually trying to get Wendell to, you know, play his idol.
Yeah, I know the Edge interviews are not canon, but I feel like that at some point down the road, I feel like we'll get the answer to this question of what were the two of them trying to encourage an idol play by Wendell?
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm very, very curious. All right, Scott wants to know, who's fighting harder to become a zero vote finalist, Laurel or Donathan?
Oh, boy. To me, I feel like it's Donathan more than Laurel.
Why? Because Donathan, at least. Well, why?
I feel like that Laurel recognizes the predicament that she's in more and might be able to articulate it. And Donathan, I feel like that he's talking about he's ready to play go big or go home. And then he voted out Chelsea.
But he can't, you know, he can't vote for you know, he can't himself vote for Wendell. Like, it's got to be him and Laurel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Based on I think that people have felt like that they have like in the same way that Seabass picked Donathan to go on the family visit. If that's the kind of thing where I think that Seabass is saying like, I feel bad for Donathan. I'm going to do something nice for him. And then if Donathan turns around and votes out Seabass, I feel like that's the kind of stuff that gets you to where people are really annoyed at you at the final three.
Yes. Well, but also, you know, they have to feel that way about Laurel, right? Laurel's been a part of every one of those conversations. And then she's the one who goes in and tells on the plan, right? With Desiree, she's the one who told Dominic about the plan. And I think that there could be a lot of anger at her for having ruined these last few attempts at really shaking up the status quo. But I don't think that necessarily either zero votes. Like, do you think there'll be like a Malolo vote there? Do you think like one of the Malolos on the jury will feel some sort of Malolo pride?
That's certainly a possibility. But I just feel like that when we're talking about the two of them, I feel like that Laurel has a fighting chance to argue for some votes where I don't know if Donathan necessarily is going to persuade anybody to, you know, be able to articulate, you know, what the strategy was the whole way.
What is Laurel's argument
of why she should win if she goes to the end with Dominic and Wendell?
Yeah.
That she convinced them to, I mean, we don't know what the path that she took is. If she wins out immunity, you know, there's a couple of different scenarios where ultimately she gets there. But I think that she would have to say that she was somebody, the last person left from Malolo. Everybody wanted the Malolos out. She was able to ingratiate herself with Dominic and Wendell. She made an alliance with them early on. She was able to get them to vote out everybody from their own tribe. They turned on all Univides, we're grasping at straws, but I think that would probably be something along the best case.
It's interesting. Like, I, at some point, I'd love to like chat with you about, you know, the difference between playing from the top and playing from the bottom, because they're both very challenging and they both have like best practices, you know, on the one hand, because you can see where it goes wrong from both positions in this season, where Kellen, for example, who's someone who's really squandered this position from the top that she's had, right? She was in charge of this you know, nominally in charge from our perspective of this big NVIDIA alliance. And because of her fixation on maintaining that alliance, she wasn't able to see the threats coming in from the side. And then, you know, conversely, you've got Laurel, who's playing from the bottom and, you know, was so cautious that she missed opportunities she might have had to switch up the game. So it's interesting. You know, there are very different things that you need to do to win from each position. They each have their challenges.
And the other thing why I'll say that I don't know if Laurel is drawing dead, I think that the history of Survivor is littered with people who go on to win after making a very late run at the game, whether it's final seven or final six or even final five, where you win out those last couple of immunities, you find necklaces, you make a fire. You know, that last season is a, you know, great example of somebody who, you know, goes on a run right at the end of the season. So I think that there are possibilities at the end of the game that we sometimes don't see coming.
Bob Crowley, right? Just won out the last three immunities and everyone, you know, voted for him to win.
That, I believe that is incorrect.
Two immunities. He won out some quantity of immunities.
Yeah, I believe Susie Smith won the final immunity.
Oh, right. She won the stack. You're right. She won the block stack.
Bob said that he wasn't going to talk to anybody then after that. And then somehow they still brought him to the final three.
He said all he needed to say to win the game.
Yes, yes, I believe that's the case. Okay, all right. John Densford, $10. Is it impressive or foolish to be able to hold on to your idol knowing that the vote will be 5-3 either way? Do you want to get on Wendell for not playing his idol tonight, Steve?
No, great move, great read. I mean, I think this is like the edge, right? It's like having those reads and, like, you know, being correct about them. Because when you're wrong, it's not a great move.
Steven, did you want to weigh in on last week's episode at all, that we didn't get your take in terms of the two tribal councils in last week's episode? Was there anything that you wanted to say in terms of how those were covered?
Oh, no. I mean, I guess, you know, I was not as mad at Kellen for using those two votes on Laurel. I thought it did make some degree of sense. Obviously, I was incredibly disappointed that both of those groups split for majority Navidi, three Navidi, two Malola. You have to assume that part of the reason that happened that way was that someone on the back end was thinking, like, how do we shift things up? You know, we've got this 6-4 split. Like, if just one of these tribes has a different numerical advantage, the whole game could change. That did not happen.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to last couple of questions from Survivor Fan 2014, Steven.
All right. Please explain to me, how dumb is this cast not to go after Wendell, knowing he still has an idol and his number one ally, Dom, also has an idol?
Yeah.
I think we agree.
Yeah. Well, you agree with the person from Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
Who knows? But I think that Wendell, you know, Laurel, knowing that he has this idol in his back pocket, I think that it was probably too risky. And to know, you know, that Wendell was even suspicious of Laurel, let alone once Donathan knows that you're voting against Wendell, I kind of feel like that's going to be tough to, you know, really blindside those guys, especially on a night when Dominic is immune. There's no sort of like, oh, could it be me? Could it be him?
Right.
You know, it's that I think that Dominic having immunity, I think, really hurt the cause tonight.
And I do think this perception of Wendell as having, you know, things up his sleeve, like maybe they're not worried about just one idol. Maybe they're worried about like some other thing. Oh, he was just at Ghost Island. Like, yes, there was this one advantage, but like, who knows what else he's got up his sleeve. And, you know, they're not all that dumb. Like, some of them tried to take him out. I do think on the margin, probably everyone is in a good spot. You know, everyone is making moves that make sense to them. Mm-hmm. I guess that's not a good defense. But do you think from in this Wendell Dominic perception, do you think between the two of them, they have a sense of who's going to win?
No, I don't think so. I think that they're just sort of like, hey, let's just get to the end. I think that Dominic is thinking more about cutting Wendell, and Wendell is thinking a little bit more of, hey, let's just get there and then we'll, you know, figure it out once we get to the final three. So I would be surprised if one of them cuts the other one. Do you think that that's a possibility, Steven?
Maybe at four. I don't think so, though. I mean, I would be. I think it's possible at four that one of them. Well, if one of them wins immunity, I think it's possible he wouldn't take the other one.
And could say, oh, I really need you to make, you know.
earn it.
You know, beat Laurel in the fire making challenge or beat Seabass in the fire making challenge. So I need you. Will you be my champion? Will you be my bro and go into the fire making challenge? And so sort of like a sneaky way to like, hey, if he, you know, if he loses him, he loses him.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I do think that's possible.
All right, Scott, let's do one last question here and then we'll wrap this up. Wyatt says, why did Donathan drop that truth bomb at Tribal? How does that help or hinder his game? So we've sort of ruled out that we don't think that he was trying to flush Wendell's idol. The only thing that I could think of is that they didn't want to have Kellen be alarmed in any way.
So you think he was like playing it up in order to gull Kellen?
Yeah, I think so. I think that to keep up the blind side of Chelsea.
It's possible that was part of it. That's really possible. Yeah, it's also possible that to make it seem to everyone. But like, that's certainly possible.
There's only a couple of different options of either that they were, you know, he just was, you know, had diarrhea of the mouth. Or there was intention in that he was trying to get Wendell to play his idol, or that he was sort of a choreographed conversation where the thing that like Wendell was acting like really, you know, alarmed. And he talked about how if he felt like things weren't going to go his way, he would have played his idol. So it doesn't make any sense that he didn't play his idol if that was the case. So I feel like that they were all sort of like in on what they were going to talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
So, all right.
That's wondering.
Steven, who got the fishy tonight?
I gave the fishy to both Dominic and Wendell because I can't rank the two of them.
What is with you?
I have always been against ranking. I've always found ranking to be an arbitrary and reductive way of understanding this kind of thing.
But for how many seasons have you picked one person that gets it? And then all of a sudden now you can't split the baby between Dominic and Wendell?
Well, sometimes I give them to two and sometimes I give it to one. I think last week I gave it to one person and this week I'm giving it to two people. I was going to give it to Wendell by himself. And then I thought, no, Rob Sesternino demands I give it to one person and I can't give in to that kind of bullying.
Okay. All right. This is not going to play well for you, Steven.
Wait, what do you mean?
Let's see how this goes. Let's see how the reaction to this works out.
Wait, reaction to what? Are you threatening me?
I'm not threatening you.
Oh my God. That way he's threatening me. What's going
to
happen?
The audience reacts to this.
What's going to happen? He's threatening me.
Even know on Twitter.
A mob against me.
Oh my God.
This is terrifying. Rob, you've turned evil.
I'm saying let's see how it plays out.
Because I don't want to rank people, because I don't think people should fall on an easy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 list. Rob is going to smite me with the power of the internet.
I'm not doing anything.
You're just threatening.
Let's talk about what's coming up on the podcast. Of course, tomorrow is the Big Brother Canada 6 finale. Of course, we will see Taryn's final live feed update of the season coming up on Thursday. He will talk about Kayla's game. And of course, live after the Big Brother Canada 6 finale, Taryn and the LFC will be live to talk about whatever happens, whoever wins. Instant reactions coming up at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. And then on Friday, look for the exit interviews with the final three, maybe final four, who knows. Taryn is going to be talking to all of your Big Brother Canada 6 finalists. So be on the lookout for all that. And of course, Michael Snowy, happy birthday. I'll be talking to him on Thursday evening. Get your questions in survivor@robhaswebsite.com. And then coming up on the feedback show this weekend, Bryce Isaiah, get your feedback questions in. And that's going to be on Friday, that feedback show. So get your feedback questions. Don't wait around for the feedback. Okay. So Friday afternoon, we'll be getting those in. So don't dilly dally with those. And of course, to get even deeper into Rob as a podcast, we did our patron cast talking about all of these rumors about Australian Survivor. Steven, have you been hearing any of this?
I've been sad. So I'm watching season two of Australian Survivor, which I'm loving. It's like at this point, please don't spoil me. I'm already spoiled on the winner, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, let me spoil you on how season three is going to go.
I know. Well, so I'm loving it. It's like, honestly, it's one of the top five Survivor seasons of all time, at least where I am. And the fact that they're going to squander all of that fan credibility, God, it's heartbreaking.
Look,
it's almost as bad as if they
if they are us, the viewers. The viewers are the winners. Okay. Get even more info on everything we're doing at Rob is a Podcast. Two patron only shows a week and much more. Rob has a website.com/patron. All right, Stephen Fishback.
This is fun.
Only one more live know-it-alls of the season that we will be back together next Wednesday night. And then after the finale, Stephen will be back with Sophie Clark.
Yeah, very excited. I've confirmed with Sophie. We're on. We're going to be breaking it down. She always has hot takes. She's always very original takes. And yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Okay, that's 2 weeks from tonight, the finale of Survivor Ghost Island. So looking forward to everything coming up here down the stretch. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thanks, everybody, for checking out the podcast tonight. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.